Horst Forster is a director and overseeing a number of units who have been, with changing names, dedicated to such important topics such as robotics, cognitive systems, cognitive vision, content, digital content, semantic technologies, now also multilingual technologies, language technologies, interaction technologies, and so on. And if you have realized during the last couple of years some revival of strong research and a strong research strength and the courage also to approach quite a number of controversial and new areas that some of you are invited in, it's not the least his doing. So thank you. I'm very glad that Horst Forster can come today and talk to us about technologies for the European multilingual information society.
Thank you, Hans Oskreis, for the flowers. I don't think I really deserve them. Good afternoon to all of you. It is a pleasure to be in this beautiful city, geographical center of Europe, and at times also the political center. Now again, the capital where the European Union presidency is located. I need not tell this audience about the market potential of language technologies. I mean, you know much more about that than I do. I just want to recap a few figures. The market is estimated at 15 billion euro, and about 40% of it materializes in Europe. Now, we all know that English is seen as the lingua franca worldwide, but if you look into it, you see also that there are only about 300 million native English speakers. That is quite a small percentage of the world population. And about 50% of the Europeans do not understand English at all. Even those who do prefer to use their own language in buying, concluding contracts, and so on. And that's why you need language technologies and machine translation in particular, and translation business in general. That's why it is such a large market already with a tremendous potential for growth. Now, also, the single largest provider company of language services is US-based. Most of the professionals, translators, localizers, as you, I think, call the profession, I'm not sure, are based in Europe, close to 40%. And the global number two in language service providers, STL, is a European company based in the UK. Other important European companies, I just named them, Star, RWS, Xerix, Euroscript, Logos, Moravia, Vista, Tech, Semantix, and so on and so on. Also, the institutional language services are a significant sector in Europe. Not the least the organization I come from, and where also colleagues who will talk tomorrow are here, the EU Language Service, EG Translation and Interpretation. That alone accounts for 1.1 billion euro turnover. Now, a significant proportion of that, about one third, is actually outsourced from the European language service provider market. Now, language service providers provide substantial added value to traditional businesses. Let's be concrete and take the case of Ryanair, which is quite a substantial air carrier. The employees serve 10,000 clients annually, which I'm sure that's a relatively small number. But in any case, this is a very successful company, and they have a self-service web booking, ticketing, and check-in, allowing Ryanair to minimize the ground personnel. This concept requires the website to be accessible, available, and customized to clients' needs. Ryanair's website is in 9 European languages. The website of various countries are customized and showing different according to the local needs. Now, one may ask the question, what would be Ryanair's business if they had decided to operate only in English? Or what, and that's difficult to answer, if it now decided to operate in 30 languages, which would be possible, wouldn't it? Maybe that would change the business a bit. Now, language technology helps us to master globalization by empowering the right people with the right skills, irrespective of the language they happen to master, e.g. by making regulatory and IBR data readily accessible, which is important to the industry. Now, patent and trademark data, managing and accessing them, is an area where machine translation combined with information, retrieval, text analysis, and other things can make a big difference. We will hear about that again, I think, also tomorrow, as somebody from the European Patent Office will speak. The same goes for repositories of other intellectual property rights, such as trademarks. Europe has significant capacities and resources for language industry and language technology. Professionals, researchers, university programs, translators, practitioners, content, multilingual audience that can be turned into contributors and content providers in the Web 2.0 context. And last but not least, there are excellent scientists and research groups in Europe. What they need, however, and I come back to that, is an agreed agenda, something like a common vision for research, as well, and that is equally important, live contact with the real world of users, consumers, industry, business, administrations, and so on. I don't say they don't have that. I just think there is still room for improvement. Well, there are obstacles and challenges to take those opportunities. Well, language barriers, we all see that still divide the online universe. I'm also responsible for what is called the European Digital Library, which is Europeana, that has content from museums, paintings, other art pieces, like books, archive material, maps, and so on, in 23 different languages. Now, this is only partially accessible at the moment, as long as there is no translation facility in it, which works properly, to those who understand the language. Most of the content, by the way, is in French, not in English. Even Faust, I think, is in French, the German. Now there, I think, also for this type of services, well, working machine translation is would probably multiply very much the users. At the moment, we have about 40,000 visitors per day. Now, I think that would be much more if the services was offered in a multilingual fashion. At the moment, we have, I think, a portal which is in 23 different languages, but that's where it ends, so there's no translation. Well, also, of course, as a challenge appears, the new web paradigms, collaborative web, user-generated content, appear more and more, which require on-the-fly translations, or, as I said already, in the case of our digital library, users are confined to languages that read and write. There are also, that's a big problem for our like translation service and our interpretation service. There are not enough human translators to respond to political commitments in the field of European multilingualism. And the situation gets more difficult the more countries join the unit. I think at the moment it's already intended, right, with some languages. So, and last but not least, another obstacle we observe for the take-up of language technology is that European businesses have taken it up rather slowly, I may say. I will not generalize, I mean just on the whole. Also Europe, who actually would need it most. And European companies who want to be global also need it most. Now there are other global companies, but they're based in the US, who are the forerunners so far. I say so far. One is Google, quite clear. It has the most well-known online machine translation service, and also the one offering the most languages. And it's a service free to users. Well, that is something you have to cope with. Microsoft is similar. And I think both companies have contributed to a paradigm shift in the machine translation market. You will hear more about Google later, but I think what they have been doing and are doing is quite impressive. The Google Web interface is currently available, or at least partly available, in 124 languages. Hardly imagine. Well, the interesting question, however, is how to monitor the quality of these crowdsourced translations, as they organize it. Well, we'll see how that works. Now, for us, that is the European players, industry and research, and the governments and the European Commission. The time to act, I think, is now. It's not later. I believe there is still some time to act. Multilingualism is popular and is high on the political agenda, at least in Europe, and that's where it should be. The technology now is cheaper and performs better than it did only a few years ago. Language data and resources, the raw material for multilingual systems, are more widely available than ever, and as I said, often free of charge, but not just the services Google offers, but also the resources are often free of charge. And that's good. Now, we, the European Commission, can help. We kind of gave the language technology program mainly focused on machine translation, which we resumed after a self-imposed, quite extensive pause. We kickstarted it with about 40 million euro this year for projects for machine translation. But that's only a start. And I don't know whether it will work, because in order to make it work, we need all of you and all those who are not there and work on the subject. We need a solid plan, which we don't have yet. At the moment, we just offer money. We have some ideas in which direction it could go. But I think there need to be more tangible in order to make it happen, what we all want. I don't like the word, but I think in this case, I'm ready to say it. I mean, we need to build a vision. I mean, the law once said, who has a vision doesn't know what he wants. But I think it is, well, maybe that's also true. But I think we need to, you know, make a plan. A roadmap, plan of actions that are necessary to reach the objectives which I think we should set jointly. I just recapitulate them. To support and maintain a European excellence base. Attract, and I stress, and keep the best brains. Bring industry, research, and users together in actual action, not only conferences. Build the basic language technology infrastructure, language resources, tools, methods, and make them available. Share and use and reuse of the resources and tools that are developed. Make sure they remain also available over time. And that you can't do just with projects. I mean, that needs investment from other sources as well. And also, last not least, we need to address the needs of the customers, users, understand what consumers or citizens want. Businesses will flourish when customers are happy. If we work towards these three objectives, the fruits will be manifold, and I'm not going to expand on that now, you can all imagine. We see after those years of self-imposed pause in machine translation, does not have the intention now to remain idle. We haven't been already in the last year. We gave it a slow start. After the six framework program, that's now 2 years ago, it was obvious that the more structured European approach was necessary in the evolving societal and technological context. And the relaunch of European language technology started gradually in 2006 with a number of projects, amongst them that project which is organizing this conference. And as I already said, this year we already support language technologies with 40 million euro per year. That's mainly machine translation, but it is also to bring other technology to use in our competitiveness innovation program. Now, we can safely say the funding is not the problem. So if you need more, and we decide that it is advisable to invest more, we are ready to do so. But we don't want to overstretch the capacities which are not there. So we have to build up the capacities in the research, and we also have to see that there is some industrial investment in parallel in order to really make it a full-blown program. We're ready to do that, but we'll have to see. We have the results of the first major program in research call. It's not yet finalized, but I mean, our impression is a good one. It's a good one. So that's a good start. Proposals for the take-up in the CIP program are being submitted. 2nd of June is the deadline for submission. We also do hope that there we're going to have a number of good take-up actions of language technology, as I would call them, simplicity-wise. I don't use all the other technical terms my colleagues have invented in the meantime for the various schemes. And at the same time, we will organize a series of events. This is one of it that is supported by us. Discussions and consultations concerning the next steps to take. And we expect your active participation to these events and input to the public consultation we're going to launch on language technology and its uptake. Now let me conclude. There is a significant use potential and subsequent market potential for machine translation and language technologies. Wherever there are large amounts of multilingual online information accessed across language barriers, digital libraries, patent and IVI databases, legal databases, and so on. On the other hand, any online services and business attracting large customer bases, travel and tourism, I mentioned the example of Ryanair, auctions and marketplaces. It's not just eBay, it's many other auction businesses which use already machine translation, I've seen. I mean, I use it myself, so I can see that. Finally, there are huge opportunities also in the translation business and provision of other language services offering more translations, cheaper, and to a larger audience. There is a lot of music. Now, European machine translation is still rather invisible in the media and in the political environment. Euromatrix Plus and other projects should make themselves known, visible, be more present in the media, and to address and involve the final beneficiaries of translation technology above and beyond the scientific community they address in the first place. These projects have a respectable track record in promoting the culture of openness and sharing. This is where they can continue to distinguish itself by making the MOSES open source toolkit a reference tool for developing multi machine translation systems, by organizing open machine translation evaluation campaigns, good training events, give access to shared language resources, evaluation data sets, evaluation results, and so on. So awareness is important also in this context in order to foster the take. Let me recap the broad objectives. Agree on a roadmap, a master plan of actions and actors. We're going to do that in the remainder of this year together with you. Support and maintain a European excellence base. Attract and keep, underline and keep, the best brains. Build the basic language technology infrastructure, language resources, tools, methods, and repositories. Make available, share, use, and reuse of resources and tools. And last but not least, address the needs of customers, users, understand of the consumers, and citizens one. Thank you for your attention.